Well, welcome everybody. Thankful that you're here today. If you have a Bible, open up to Luke's Gospel chapter 11. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel chapter 11 in just a couple of minutes. I want to ask you, how many of y'all pray? Any of y'all pray out there? Anybody pray? Of course you pray. It's football season. You know you're praying right now, right? Some of y'all ain't praying very well or effectively, but you're all praying, right? Sometimes we pray more. Sometimes we pray less. Sometimes it seems like, wow, you know, God answered. Sometimes not so sure if God's even hearing my prayers, but I think all of us pray at one time or another. We pray, God, please let this baby go to sleep. Come on, that's a good prayer, isn't it? God, please let this child go to sleep. Or God, please let me pass this test. Or God, please let me close this sale. Or God, please don't let my mama find out. Come on, everybody say amen to that one. We've all prayed that one, right? God, please don't let, you know, me overdraft my bank account. God, please let me sink this putt or kill this deer or get this dress and none of my friends have it. I mean, we've all got prayers that we pray. Some people are really, really good prayers. If you look back through history, a guy named Andrew Murray was a really, really good prayer. A guy named George Mueller, I'll talk about him in a minute. He's a really, really good prayer. My mama was a good prayer. I'm convinced I'm standing here right now because my mama prayed me up here, right? She prayed me out of a lot of other things, but she was just a woman who prayed for me, and only eternity will tell the difference that she made. But the best prayer ever is Jesus, okay? Jesus was a man of prayer. That's the way Luke's gospel depicts him. Luke tries to help us understand how much Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed about the big things. Okay, before Jesus was baptized, as he's being baptized, he's praying. Before he picks the 12 disciples, he's praying. Before he multiplies the fishes and the loaves and feeds 5,000, he's praying. Before up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that Judas is going to come and betray him. He's praying. So he prays in these big moments of his life. But when you read Luke's gospel, it becomes really, really clear that Jesus didn't just pray in the big times. He prayed all the time. The Bible says this in Luke 5, verse 16. It says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He just had this rhythm of praying and then ministering and being with people out of the overflow of his prayer life. And then he would come back and be with God and get kind of filled up. And then he would go back out and do life in ministry and then get away and pray and then go out and do ministry. That was kind of his rhythm. Now, here's my question to you. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to pray, don't you think you need to? I mean, couldn't we stand to learn to pray if Jesus needed to pray? One day in Luke 11, the scripture we're going to be at in just a minute, the disciples hear Jesus pray. He had just finished praying, and one of them said to him, can you teach us how to do that? Y'all ever pray with somebody who knows how to pray? Right, you know, like you're praying and, you know, you're doing good, but man, when they start praying, there's an intimacy with God. There's just an authority in their voice. There's a confidence, and you're like, wow, they talk to God. Look, I think that's what it was. I think Jesus had taught the disciples how to preach. He's taught them how to heal. He's taught them how to cast out demons. But the only thing they ever asked him to teach them to do was to pray. Jesus, would you teach us how to pray like you pray? And so I want you to learn today, to lean in, learn from this scripture. I want you to learn how to pray as well. I'm convinced that prayer is the key to the supernatural being released in your life. Okay? Anybody, look, even non-believers live in their own flesh, do what they can do, manipulate what they can manipulate, handle what they can handle. Everybody lives that way. But for a follower of Jesus, you're called to live according to the supernatural presence and power of Jesus. And I'm convinced that the key to you experiencing supernatural life is you learning to pray. If you don't pray very often, then you won't experience the supernatural very often. But if you develop a habit of talking to God, of walking with God all the time, you're going to be surprised at how often when you talk to God and you say, God, could you, or God, would you, or God, would you show me? You're going to see the supernatural release to you. Come on, who's here for that? I want that, right? I want the supernatural. I want my relationship with Christ to transform everything. So let's look at this scripture and learn how to pray like Jesus. Here's how to pray like Jesus. Number one is follow his pattern. Follow the pattern that Jesus gives us for prayer. Luke 11, verse 1 says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, here's the pattern. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. How many of y'all have ever heard that prayer before? Right, y'all ever heard that? We've said that prayer. Now, typically we say Matthew's version, right? Matthew's version is a little bit fuller, a little bit longer. This is Luke's version, kind of Cliff's Notes version, but it's the guts of it are still the same. Now, most of us, when we say the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, we learned to say it when we were little bitty kids playing football or baseball or basketball or soccer, and we would say it either before or after, sometimes both. We would say the Lord's Prayer, and so we would just kind of fly through it. How many of y'all have ever done this? You just fly through the Lord's Prayer. You can say it in one breath. The only time you weren't sure what to do is if you were going to ask God to forgive you of your debts or your trespasses. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? You kind of go, forgive us, and lead us not in temptation. Boy, here we go again, right? I mean, that's kind of it, but here's what I want you to hear. Please hear me, all right? God doesn't want you, Jesus didn't give you this prayer so you could mutter it mindlessly in 1 minute. Right, what he's trying to do, the disciples said, hey, I want to learn how to pray like you know how to pray. And he said, okay, well, this is kind of the blueprint. This is kind of what I do whenever I enter into prayer. This is what it looks like. And so here's the pattern. Starts with relational connection. Father. It's the way he starts the prayer. Father. It's a relational connection. That's what Jesus wants you to understand, is that whenever you come to God, you're coming to him as your father. It's a relationship, and he delights to bless his children. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. That's the essence of Jesus' message in ministry, was that God wants to be reconciled to you. That's what we've been studying in Romans 1 through 5. We're taking a break for a couple of weeks. We'll pick back up in chapter 6 in a couple of weeks. But the message so far has been this. You ran from God, and God ran after you. He just ran after you. You walked away, and God didn't. He refused to. He sent Jesus to pay for your sin and mine and all that rebellion so that we could be reconciled to our Father. And so when you pray now, you're talking to your Father. You're not talking to a boss who's mean. You're not talking to a master who doesn't want to give you anything. You're not talking to one of your boys. What's up, J-Man? That ain't it either. You're talking to your Father who loves you. And so whenever you enter into prayer, sometimes we enter into prayer and just say, God, you are so awesome, so good. You've been so kind to me. Thank you. Sometimes we enter into prayer and we say, God, I don't feel very lovely right now, but I'm just going to receive the fact that you love me. So Holy Spirit, would you just let the love of God wash over me? We learned about that in Romans 5, 6. The love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Some days you enter prayer and you just go, I am such a mess, but God, I call you my Father. Let your love cover me. I'm convinced the more you cultivate your love connection with God, your constant walking around conversation with God, just riding down the road saying, God, man, what do I do about that? God, what about this? God, how should I say? God, what do you think? God, can I just give that to you? The more you cultivate your walking around relationship with God, the more you're going to sense intimacy with God, the more confident you're going to grow in prayer, and the more the supernaturals are going to begin to flow to you. The opposite of that is 911 praying. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say 911 praying? You don't know God, God don't know you, but you're like, God, I need it. And there's just hard to be confident when you pray that way. Okay? So we're going to learn today. We're learning to cultivate a heart that is connected to God, our Father. Then surrender. Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. He's talking about a surrendered heart. I'm connected to God, but I'm surrendered to God. Before we ask him for, you know, to win the game on Friday night, or before we ask him for the job interview on Monday, or for the paycheck next Friday, we're coming to God, saying to God, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Most of us see prayer like a sales call. You're trying to convince God against his will. God, you really should do this for me. May even give a little offering on Sunday just to make sure God knows you're really serious. But that's not what real prayer is. Real prayer is not you trying to get God to do what you want him to do. Please hear me. What Jesus said is, the key to you learning how to pray powerfully is to learn to surrender and say, God, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? He said, pray this way, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Well, the word hallow, which nobody uses, right? We never use that word. So what is that word? It means holy. That's all it is, holy. God, make your name holy. So when you come to prayer, one of the ways you start is by saying, God, I just declare that your name is holy. Here's what I mean by that. You're entering, as the psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Whenever you come to pray to God, this is a great way to start. God, you are my Father. I love you so much. You are so awesome. God, you are wise. You are ever-present. You're all-powerful. You can tell God some of the things he's done. You've multiplied fish and loaves. You've split the sea, God. You let Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old. God, you open and close the womb. You'd rescue Daniel from the lion's den and his buddies from the fire. God, there's nothing my God can't do. You may even want to quote a Bible verse or two to God because you're just praising God. You are the faithful one, God. You are my shepherd, God. I am praising you. Here's why I'm telling you to do that. Because the bigger you think God is, the more faith you're going to have to pray. Okay? So when you pray, come to your Father and say, hallowed be your name. You're praising God. It's building faith. But actually, in the text, when he says, hallowed be your name, he's actually commanding God. This is nuts. But you're told to pray. You're commanding God, God, make your name holy. What does that mean? God, make your name holy. Here's what it means. In all the stuff I'm about to ask you for, God, what I want more than anything else is for your name to be the most important. I want your fame. I want there to be no doubt who the man is. God, you're the man. And so, God, in my heart, I want you to be holy. God, be holy in my heart and in my life. God, I want you to be holy in my daughter, in my son, at my work, with my fraternity, with my friends. God, be holy. Make your name holy in this circumstance that I'm going to be praying about. God, be holy in all the people who are going to hear about it. God, I want your name to be lifted up. God, that's what I want. More than my name, more than my fame, more than my request, God, make your name be lifted up and be holy. When you ask God to make his name holy in your prayers, God says, I can do that. I can do that. Your kingdom come. What is that? Well, it's not a sales pitch, that's for sure. You're not bending God's will to you, that's for sure. Actually, when you say your kingdom come, you're laying down what you think should happen. Please hear me. Because right now you've been praying, and God change him, and God do that, and God just, and I'm just saying to you, we can pray that way, but what Jesus taught you to pray is, God, I don't know what you want in this circumstance, but I want your kingdom to come. God, this is what I want, but I'm laying that down for what you want if what you want is different. I'm laying down what I desire for his kingdom to come. It's an expression of trust that God's kingdom plan for you is better than your personal plan for your life. So we're trusting that God is our Father and his way is right and it's best. I think that's why most of the time our prayers aren't answered. I think that's why your prayers aren't being answered, quite honestly, and sometimes mine. It's because when we ask stuff from God, we want it for ourselves. The Bible says in James, you don't have because you don't ask. And then you ask and you don't receive because you ask selfishly. It's all about you. All your prayers are all about you. And what Jesus is saying is learn to pray differently. That's the way Mary prayed whenever the angel told her, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, I'm not even married to Joseph yet. I've never been with a man. But nevertheless, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. That's crazy. It's the way Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed to the Father, please take this cup from me. I don't want to have to drink the cup of your wrath on the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Okay? So if we're going to pray like this, it means maybe you need to stop praying. God, please don't let him break up with me. God, please don't let him break up with me. What if God says he's a loser? I want you to break up. I want him to break up with you. Because out of your insecurities, you're holding on to a guy who is no good for you. I'm going to break this up if you'll let me, because I have a man prepared for you, and I'm going to make you to be a woman you can't imagine, and it's going to be beautiful, but you got to lay down this shallow stuff you got going on right now. Okay? God, would you take all my problems and my pain? God, I don't want to go through this trial. God, I'm tired of it. And God's like, would you stop asking me for that? You want the easy road. But please hear me. The only way I can convince you of how good I am and show you how powerful and faithful I am, the only way I can build your character is through the hard road. And I got a good plan and a good platform for you, but you ain't ready yet. So stop asking me to take the pain away and start asking me to shape your heart. Y'all understand what God's saying? That when we pray, we come and say, "Our Father, you're good, and I trust that you love me, and I want your name to be holy, and I'm laying down my plan and what I think for the sake of what you think. So God, would you show me how to pray now?" Right? Would you show me how to pray? And out of that place of surrender, then you ask God for what you need. He said, give me this day our daily bread. Certainly, I believe that means spiritual bread, but I don't think that's the context. Like, God will give you a word every day, 100. But I think what he's talking about is your physical needs. Ask God for the physical things that you have need of. Whatever you need of in your life, ask God. I think he's hearkening back to the book of Exodus when the children of Israel had been held captive in Egypt for 400 plus years, and they cried out to God. God heard them, sent a man named Moses, used him to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and then they cross the Red Sea and get out into the wilderness, and they go, "Well, what are we going to eat? Did y'all bring any food?" Well, we should have thought about that, shouldn't we? They start thinking, maybe we should go back to Egypt. And God says, no, I'm going to give you food every morning. Y'all remember this? The dew would come, land on the ground, and then whenever it dried up, it would turn into manna, this little bread-like stuff, and they would eat it every day. And God wouldn't let them get enough for tomorrow, except on Friday. They could get enough for Friday and Saturday because you don't work on a Sabbath. He's teaching them that I provide for you. But if they got too much on Friday trying to get ahead, God would say, "Nope, it's going to rot." And so it would rot. But every day, he wanted them to trust that he was going to provide. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like for God to give me my weekly bread at least, preferably monthly or maybe even annually. A lifetime supply, bam. But God wants you to let him lead you and provide for you every single day. Every day. God, Jesus said, "Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Today, I got you." So ask God for your daily needs. I think that means your material needs. You can ask God for food. You can ask God for rain. Lord have mercy, we need to be praying for rain. God, give us some rain. I think it means you can ask God, if you're running late, to turn all the red lights green on Lakeland Drive. Come on, you parted the sea, God. You can part Lakeland for me right now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Right? Sometimes you may need to pray a prayer like that and trust God with that answer. But listen, if all you're doing is asking God for your material needs, I think you're missing the best part of life. He really is inviting you to ask him for anything. God, I need love in my heart because I hate this person right now. Are they hard to love at least? God, I really need some patience right now because these lights didn't turn green for me. God, I really need some peace right now because I'm really, really anxious about this meeting or about what's going on in this relationship. Y'all hear me? God, I need it right now. And God promises that he will meet your every needs. Sometimes what you need to ask for is forgiveness. Father, forgive me of my sins, my debts, right? And the reason that you need to do that is because, listen, whenever you accept Christ into your life, okay, when you trust Jesus as your Savior and you say, "God, I want to be your child, come in, change me," he does that, and that can never, ever, ever, ever change. Okay, my dad was in the first service today, sat right over there, and my daddy has been my daddy all my life. And I have really disappointed my daddy at times, and he has wore my booty out. Smoke my hams, that's what we used to call it. He would smoke my hams. I really disappointed him, but he's never quit loving me. And he never quit being my daddy, okay? In the same way, God can never stop being your dad when you trust him. You may get weak, I told you. You may get weak and let go of him, but he never lets go of you. So the relationship is solid. It's secure forever. Jesus never lets you go. But here's what happens. Sometimes in the midst of our living, we're turning back away from God. We're not walking with God. And so our ability to ask him for things gets disrupted. There have been plenty of times when I knew I ain't going to ask my daddy for it right now. Because that answer is no. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? It ain't time. I'll make things right and then ask him later on, but not right now. The Bible says whenever we choose to disobey God, even as his children, it becomes a disruption to our ability to ask him freely for what we need. It's kind of like whenever a storm comes and a the power goes out on your house. Like, what happened, man? There ain't no power. No, there's power. There's just a limb on the line, and you don't get any power. And you're not going to get any power until you get the limb off the line, and the power can come back. Sin is the same way. There's power, but your disobedience short circuits that, and you're not going to experience the power of God and the freedom to pray until you get that sin out of the way. The Bible says it this way. I think it's in Psalm 66, verse 18. It says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, that word regard means I hold on to it. If I'm holding on to it, all of us are sinful at times, but if you hold on to that wickedness in your heart, then the Lord doesn't hear. It's not that he can't, he won't. Go with me? But here's the good news. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? If you hold on to it, God's like, that ain't going to work. But if you ever just say, God, please forgive me, I'm such a mess, he says, I got you. James 5:16 says this, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Not a perfect man, but a righteous man, one who's been made right with God because of Jesus and who daily is learning to walk with God as his father or her father and saying, God, I want your name to be holy in my relationship, my life, my finances, my work. God, be holy. Let your kingdom come. God says, no, I can answer that, brother. Ask for whatever you need, including forgiveness. Sometimes you need God to help you to forgive some other people. You know what I'm talking about? I need God to forgive me. But there are times whenever you have people in your life who've hurt you so deeply, wounded you so badly, that it is very difficult to forgive them. There's just so much hurt and pain. Jesus told a story in Matthew 18 about a king who had this guy that owed him $1 million. And I'm making up the $1 million part, but it's just the best way for you to understand the story. The guy owed the king $1 million, and the king said, it's payday. Pay me what you owe me. And the man comes in and he says, I can't. But if you'll be patient, I swear I'll pay you Friday. And the king knows there's no way he could ever pay it Friday or ever. And so the king says to the $1 million debtor, I tell you what, I'm going to forgive your debt. How do you think that guy felt? It's like, whoa, yes. He leaves the king's palace. I'm sure he, you know, calls his wife, says, baby, get the kids loaded up in the minivan. Meet me down at, you know, Lone Star or some real nice steakhouse, right? Meet me somewhere. We're going out to eat tonight. Well, they're out to eat. And he sees a guy that owes him $100,000. Now, that's a lot of money, y'all, $100,000, but it's a tenth of $1 million. And he goes over to the guy's table and says, where's that money you owe me, bro? And the guy says the exact same thing to him that he said to the king. Man, I don't have it right now, but if you'll be patient with me, I swear I have it by Friday. And the guy knows you ain't going to have it by Friday, so he calls the cops, puts the guy in prison, says, you're going into prison till you pay me my last cent. Well, that stinks, doesn't it? Well, the king finds out, calls the $1 million debtor back and says, hey, buddy, I forgave you $1 million debt, right? Yes, sir. And then you met a buddy, and he owed you $100,000, and you did not forgive him. You threw him in prison. Is that right? Yes, sir. And so the king said, well, in that case, you're going to prison till you pay me my million too. And then Jesus made it real. It went from being a fictitious story to a real story. This is what he says in Matthew 18, verse 35. He says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Well, that's hard, isn't it, y'all? Because some of us have a lot of pain in there. And yet he's calling you to be like Jesus, who knows the pain of betrayal, who knows the pain of people not believing in you or believing for you or staying with you. He's asking you to have that same kind of heart. And this is really, really difficult to do. But if you want forgiveness appropriated to you, Jesus said you got to be willing to give it. Otherwise, the enemy is going to get into your heart, your spirit, and he's just going to disrupt everything. I was reminded once that, you know, God reveals himself by different names in the Bible. The God who sees, the God who provides, the God who's righteous. I mean, through the Old Testament, he revealed himself by names. One of the names he reveals himself by is the God who heals. Isn't that cool? God's name is Yahweh Rapha, Hebrew. I am the Lord who heals. But Exodus 15 is when he reveals himself that way. But do you know what it was that he was healing when he revealed himself by that name? Not leprosy, not cancer, not mental illness. He was healing bitterness. The waters were bitter. And God said, I can heal the bitter waters in your heart. And so would you let God bring healing? Come on, we're talking about how to learn to pray better. It's an all-in type deal. It's not just, hey man, you know, God, would you do this thing for me? It's an all-in thing. You're my Father, and I want your name to be holy, and I believe your will is best for me. And so here are the things that I need, God. And so have your way in me first. And if you need direction, you can ask him for that. He said, lead us not into temptation. My mentor, Bob Russell, used to say that he would open up his planner back in the day and he would look at whatever his schedule was for the day. You can still do it on your phone. He would look at his schedule for the day, and in the morning he would just pray over every appointment. God, would you just meet me here? Meet me here. Is there anything you want me to do here? God, is there anything you want me to say in this particular appointment? Now, if you have a particular bent towards some besetting sin, or you know there are certain places and things that are not good for you, then maybe what you need to begin to pray is, God, you know what? As I meet my day today, would you just make me holy and just like you in every situation? God, would you keep me from those places and those people that make me vulnerable to do stuff I don't want to do? God, would you set a guard over my eyes? God, would you help my mind to stay focused on you today in this particular place? God, would you purify my motive? Whenever you ask Jesus to help you in the battle with temptation, the Bible says he is more than happy to help. Hebrews 4:15 is a great verse. Hebrews 4:15 says, we don't have a high priest. It's talking about Jesus. He's in heaven now. He's our high priest. He represents you before God, which is amazing. He prays for you all the time. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, you're not talking to somebody who can't feel you. He does feel you. He knows exactly how it feels to be weak. But one who was tempted, has been tempted in all things as we are, yet he didn't sin. So here's what that means. Because Jesus was human, he knows what it is to battle anger, impatience, betrayal, lust. He sympathizes. He knows. He knows what it feels like to battle that constantly. And so he says to you, because I know what that feels like, come and ask me. Look at the very next verse. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The context is a high priest who knows what it feels like to struggle with temptation. And so as a student, you can overcome it when you pray, Jesus, would you lead me today? You can overcome it as a man who battles stuff privately and nobody knows. Whenever you say, Jesus, would you help me? I submit this to you. Help me. God, I want you to know me. God, help me. Fortify me. Jesus had some guys who he would share his struggles with. Maybe you need some too. But you follow his pattern. And then be persistent. Okay, so we're going to follow his pattern. We're learning to pray like Jesus. Follow his pattern. Then be persistent. He tells this story in Luke 5 through 9. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but here's what the story says. This guy has a buddy come to him in the middle of the night and wants to stay with him, and he doesn't have any food to give him. Hadn't gone to Walmart, right? Didn't have any bread in the house. So what do you do? What do you do whenever you're out of something? You go to your neighbor, and he's knocking on the neighbor's door, and that's midnight. It's midnight, okay? He goes to his neighbor's house. He's, hey, psst, psst, Johnny, get up. Johnny, get up, man. Get up. I got company. I need some bread. And Johnny's on the inside thinking, if you wake up my baby, I'm going to knock you out, right? Because he's saying, man, my kids are in bed, man, go away, leave us alone. No, dude, seriously, man, come on, I got nothing to give, and hospitality is a big thing, so, man, get up. And in the story, Jesus says, listen, I tell you, he won't get up because he's his friend, but he will get up because the man is persistent. Because he just keeps on and just worries the horns off a billy goat, as country folk used to say, just wearing me out, all right? He'll get up and give it to him. Then he says this, therefore I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, if you have a friend who wouldn't give you something because you're a friend, but you could pester him into giving you something, how much more your Heavenly Father who loves you, who never sleeps, who's never tired, who's not worried about you waking up the kids, he would love to give you whatever you need, but sometimes you got to just keep on knocking. Keep on asking, keep on seeking so that God can open up the door. Whenever we pray, we don't pray to a grouchy neighbor, our grouchy neighbor who is in heaven. That's not the way we pray. We pray our Father who is in heaven, and he delights to give you what you need. The word persistence, I think it's around verse 8, It says, because of his persistence, he'll give him what he needs. The word persistence means shamelessness. Like, he's knocking and he don't know when to quit. Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all know anybody that you would look at him and go, you ain't got a clue, do you? That's what he's saying. Your persistence would mean that you're like, I don't care. I don't have a clue. I don't care who knows. I'm just, somebody has got to answer me. There's a passion about this prayer. Somebody please open the door for me. I'm persistent. I'm shameless. When I was in New Orleans at seminary, I used to go door to door in New Orleans. It was required for a class. Some of us remember CWT. And so we would have to go door to door, and we would have to try to tell people about Jesus following this, plan. And so I would walk up to the doors, and I would go, I guess they ain't home. So we would leave. I didn't want them to be home. I was intimidated. I didn't know what was going to come through the door. I hope they didn't have a dog to wake everybody up, right? I mean, that's the way I was. I didn't want anybody to hear. That's the opposite of what Jesus is saying to you. He's saying, bang on the door. Bang on the door of heaven. Bang on it. Don't stop. Try to wake everybody up. Get people involved if you have to, but don't be ashamed to ask me for what you need. You know, one of the ways that you can pray or have people pray for you is through the Pine Lake app. I don't know if y'all have the app on your phone, but you need to get the Pine Lake app on your phone. You can read the word there, one of the L3 plans. There's so much you can do there. But one of the things you can do is you can push the prayer tab, and it'll pull up all kind of ways you can pray. You can put prayer requests on there. You can say, man, somebody be praying for me. You can do it anonymously, put your name on there, whatever. But you can put requests on there. And then whenever people actually pray for it, you can pray for people. They can put, I prayed for that. Do y'all know how many prayer requests have been submitted to the Pine Lake app since January, starting January the 1st to September the whatever this is, do you know how many prayer requests have been submitted? As of 6 a.m. this morning, over 43,000. Do you know how many times the I prayed for this button has been touched since January the 1st? Over 2 million. Come on, people are praying. Maybe you didn't know it, but people are praying, and they want to pray for you. And if you've got a need, come on, your action step today may be to go to the app and just say, hey, would y'all be praying for my family? Would you be praying for my need? Would you be lift up this meeting on Friday? And you just unleash the Pine Lake family to pray for you and see if God might not meet you. Don't be ashamed. You be persistent and don't give up. George Mueller was a guy who prayed a bunch. I do a devotion in the mornings that's kind of a guided prayer. It's called Lectio 365, if you ever would have an interest in it. Been doing it for the last 3 or 4 months. And last week, the emphasis was making your heart a house of prayer. We would say, you know, the church is the house of prayer, but now we're the temple of God. So kind of we're now the house of prayer. So you ought to be a person of prayer. I ought to be a person of prayer all the time. And so they were kind of motivating me to pray by reminding me of a guy named George Mueller, who in the 1800s started and ran multiple orphanages and never asked anybody for a dime. He only prayed. He only talked to God, and how God would just meet his needs, meet his needs, meet his needs. The little narrator in the meditation said that in George Mueller's life, he had 50,000 answers to specific prayers written out. 50,000. That's nuts. But of those 50,000, 5,000 were answered the day he prayed. 10%. The day he prays, answer comes, which means, listen to me, 9 out of 10 times when he prayed, he had to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Pray tomorrow. Pray the next day. Pray the next day. Pray the next day. But over time, 50,000 answers to prayer. He prayed for one man 63 years. Before the man finally gave his life to Christ. What I'm saying to you is don't quit. You hear me? Don't quit. Don't quit praying for your kids. Don't quit praying for your parents. Don't quit praying for your own heart. Don't quit praying about that forgiveness. Don't quit praying about whatever it is you need. Keep on praying. Be persistent. Follow the pattern. Be persistent. Claim the promise. So last thing, claim the promise of God. What is the promise? Well, the promise of God is in Luke 11, verse 10, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He won't give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he won't give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's the promise. Everybody who asks receives. Everybody. Everybody who seeks finds. Everybody who knocks in this way, Father, make your name holy. I surrender to you. Meet my needs in this journey with you. Everybody gets your prayers answered. Now remember, doesn't mean you ultimately wear God out. It means that whenever you're praying this way, your heart becomes shapeable and moldable to God. And you're praying with connection and surrender. God, let your kingdom come and your will be done. And God says, I'll do that for you. Every prayer is answered, and you can trust God to do the best thing. If you're an evil parent, and he's not being judgmental, he's just saying all of us are sinful and broken, and we know how to bless our kids. We want to give them the best. Don't you think your perfect Heavenly Father knows how to give you what's best? Do you trust that God knows what you need, and he's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion? He's not even going to give you a blessing if that blessing would ruin you. God will not give you what you cannot handle or what's going to hurt you. But what he will give you always is the Holy Spirit. And you're thinking, well, great, but I don't really want the Holy Spirit. I want a job. I don't really need the Holy Spirit. I got a formal coming up. I need a date, right? That's the kind of way we think sometimes. But God says to you, no, what you really need is the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift because the Holy Spirit is God giving you himself. It's God giving you himself. And all that he brings with him, his presence. You see, so often we pray, God, would you take this pain away from me? And Jesus says, no, can't do that right now. Got something bigger going on, but I will give you the comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. We often pray and we say, God, would you just take all my problems away? God, I'm so tired of this mess. And God says, no, can't do that for you, but I will give you the counselor. It's the Holy Spirit. I'll help you to know what to do to navigate the problems. Sometimes we pray and we say, God, I'm so sick of these trials. I'm so sick of this test. I'm so tired of it. God, take it all away. And God says, you're in the refining fire right now. You're like a piece of coal. You're going to turn into a diamond one day if you don't quit. So I can't take the pain away, but I can give you strength. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit gives you strength to endure when you think you can't make it another day. God, I want all my physical needs met. I want money in the bank. I don't want to worry about this stuff anymore. And God says, gonna take a minute. But I'll tell you what I can give you right now is I can put inside of you living water, a fountain of living water that'll bubble up inside of you and your soul will never thirst. The thing you really need most will always be met. That's the Holy Spirit. God, I don't even know what to pray. God says, I got you. Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit is your answer. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we don't even know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The greatest gift you could ever receive, the greatest thing you could ever pray for is, God, would you give me your Holy Spirit? Because when you get the Spirit of God, you get the presence of God. You get the I am, and God is whatever you need. And so I'm sure that all of us pray a little bit, but today we're going to learn to pray a little bit better. And so I want to close this way. I want to close by just leading you to pray this pattern, and I want you to take the pattern home and pray it with some persistence, holding on to the promise of God. So across the room right now, if you're with us online, could I just encourage you to put away distractions, put away your phone. You can close your Bible up for a second or leave it open and pray back the Word of God to him. But could I just ask you to pray this way, our Father? And maybe you've never talked to God like this, not really a minute. But would you just hear God say, you're my daughter, you're my son, and I welcome you as family. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how unworthy you feel. You're his son. You're his daughter. And nothing changes that. If you've never made God your father, would you just Ask him to forgive you, cleanse you, change you, come into your life and make you new right now. If you're tired of living self-driven, self-directed, self-empowered life and you're ready for a change, the change of heaven invading your heart, just tell him, God, come into my life, change me, be my Father. Holy Spirit, would you just let the love of God be poured out on us and in us right now? Lord, I pray that your love would wash away shame and condemnation, that your love right now would wash away, God, all the places where we think we're ugly or stained or broken. God, I pray that right now we could see ourselves the way you see us. You're our Father, and you heal every broken part. You lavish your righteousness on us. You have made us acceptable in your sight. God, thank you. Thank you. Our Father. God, would you make your name holy? Come on, think about what is it that you want to pray for in just a minute. Would you go ahead and say, God, would you make your name holy in that? I'm going to be asking you about this pain, this problem, this process. God, I lift it up to you and I just say, make your name holy in me and in it. I surrender to your kingdom and your way and your will. God, I know what I want, but God, I'm yielding it to you. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Come on, could you do that right now? And now would you just ask him, tell him what's on your mind. With a surrendered heart, knowing that your Father loves you like crazy, just say, God, can we talk about this? This is what I'd like to have happen. But if you have something better, God, I'm all ears. I'll listen. I want that. But God, if this is what you're desire is, then God, I pray with confidence, believing you're going to answer in your time, in your way, but you're going to answer. You give good things to your kids. So prepare me, God, work in me. Would you pray and ask God to give you the Holy Spirit? Just pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill my heart right now? My mind, my soul. Holy Spirit, would you lead me? God, lead me, change me from the inside out. Holy Spirit, empower me. Give me the love and the joy and the peace and the patience that I need, God. Holy Spirit, would you help me to walk in faith and obedience every day? Just a second, I'm going to close this prayer. We're going to stand up and sing a song entitled Same God. I love this song. I love this song. Same God that Moses called out to and Jacob called out to and David called out to and Mary called out to is the same God you're going to talk to, that you're talking to right now. Same God. He's able to do it. He's able to heal. He's able to forgive and provide and save and all the things. So don't lose hope. Almost 1 year ago to this day, I stood on that front row at 8 a.m. singing this song, Same God. Steve and Leanne, y'all were right there beside me, crying like a baby. I had such turmoil in my heart. Such turmoil in my heart. And I was just calling out to God, saying, I'm standing on your faithfulness. You've got to come through. You've got to come through. You've got to come through. I'm telling you, I'm singing this song almost 1 year to the day later with a heart that is full. God has come through. And I'm not the same person who sang that song a year ago. But God has come through. He is faithful. Stand on his faithfulness. Have an open heart to what he wants to do inside of you. And watch his kingdom come. So Lord, that's our prayer today. That you would give us prayerful, pure, persevering hearts to pray, believing that you love us, God, and that you want to release your best to us, And so, God, would you do it? Would you do it? And Lord, when we stand up to sing this song, I pray that it would, our worship would rise. Listen, we're going to have some friends around the room. They'd love to pray with you, encourage you. You can come to the front of these steps and pray. But would you just let this be a house of prayer? Lord, let it be. Let it be. Lead us to pray in the name of Christ. Make your name holy. In Jesus' name, amen.